AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Tropical Storm Debbie's soaking parts of the South today, including North Carolina and Virginia. Heath Cubbies with the City of Chesapeake.
If you've got cars parked in the street, maybe move them up into the driveway or move them into higher ground just to allow for that. What looks like we're going to get is quick rain that could create ponding and flash flooding.
Terror plots have forced the cancellations of Taylor Swift shows in Austria.
I'm Paul Farrey in Vienna. Walk down any street in the city and you see people wearing Taylor Swift t-shirts, Taylor Swift hats. Talk to them and they tell you they're sad, they're devastated.
The shows were expected to attract more than 200,000 fans over 3 days. And Donald Trump claims President Biden was cheating.
I'm no Biden fan, but I tell you what, from a constitutional standpoint, from any standpoint you look at, they took the presidency away.
Trump in Florida today, but Biden dropped his bid for re-election, endorsing Vice President Harris as his replacement. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Half of Wisconsin's fire chiefs say they don't have enough money to cover their budgets. UW-Oshkosh researchers talked to 200 fire chiefs. Their study shows a rise in service calls, staffing shortages, and budget shortfalls. Also, more than 10% of Wisconsin's fire departments missed at least one service call in the last year. If crowds are any sign, the excitement is building for Kamala Harris's Democratic campaign for president. 12,000 people came out for her rally yesterday in Eau Claire.
The path to the White House runs right through this state, and with your help, we will win.
Republican running mate J.D. Vance is speaking to reporters everywhere Harris stumps this week.
So we think it's important to have a counter-narrative here.
Harris is introducing her running mate Tim Walz to swing state voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. We're winding down to the last few weeks of summer swim time at the Witter Park Aquatic Center. The pools will close to humans on Sunday, August 18th. On August 19th, the Aquatic Center will hold a Gone to the Dogs pool party. It's from 3:30 to 5:30 that Monday, and only $5 per dog with a donation to the Southwood County Humane Society. It's best if you pre-register your dog, as capacity is limited and you have to have proof of current rabies vaccinations. Concessions will be available for purchase. It's almost time for the kiddos to head back to school. The Wisconsin State Patrol is reminding drivers to pay attention and help keep kids safe. August is School Bus Safety Month. Be aware and eliminate distractions. When red lights are flashing, stop at least 20 feet away in both directions. When yellow lights are flashing, slow down. The bus is about to stop. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers win the series in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers bats with a big bounce back again. After a 10-0 performance Tuesday, Milwaukee came back with another 8-5 win last night to take the series over the Braves, and they did it against veteran lefty Chris Sale, manager Pat Murphy.
We forgot we faced Chris Sale. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's one of the best in the game, and he made big pitches at big time. He was tremendous. Had some things go our way, but we left a small village on base. But then we kept pecking away. Instead of getting discouraged, we kept pecking away, and you got to credit the guy.
NFL, scary moment at the end of practice. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson went down holding his knee after colliding with a safety on a ball thrown by Jordan Love.
I thought it was solid. I'm glad, you know, Jordan, you know, took a shot on that one. Tried to go up and get it. I think we just came down a little awkward. I don't know if it was his, like, knee or his cleat, but something just kind of hit me in the knee. But I think it hurt a lot worse in the moment than, you know, I thought. You know, I just wasn't too serious.
That's wide receiver Christian Watson. The Packers play the Browns in Cleveland this Saturday with sports on Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cool and mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, cool for August, highs upper 60s. Beautiful weekend ahead, sunshine and a high in the low 70s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. Sunday night, Monday, a few clouds and a slight chance of rain. Currently at 75 degrees.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will talk sports with Dan Schumacher, media with Mark Jacob, and politics with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, August 8th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from UW Extension. Kayla Rombalski is going to join us. We'll also have Morgan Vanderhey from Mid-State Technical College with us. Right now, looking forward to talking with our good friend, Ashley Normington from the Wood County Health Department. Ashley, it's good to see you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been a while. Thank you so much for having us.
Really do appreciate the time in you being here, and especially the topic we're going to focus on today. I do want to send a big thank you and shout out to our Wood County Health Department. We appreciate all of you over there and the work that you do in this community. And talking about subjects like this, Ashley, where we're going to get into the settlement that was funded and the availability for businesses and organizations to apply in Wood County for the opioid settlement funds.
Yes.
This is a big topic. Where do we start with this?
Yeah, I guess let's give a little bit of a history. So back in the late 90s, early 2000s, we were hearing a lot about doctors being pushed to prescribe opioid medications. And as a result of that, it turned into a lot of people becoming addicted to medications. And other addictions had started at that time. It wasn't all due necessarily to overprescribing, but that was part of the story. So as a result of that, recently we've had some of our distributors and manufacturers of these medications be part of a litigation to say, hey, our communities were drastically impacted by the opioid epidemic that we're seeing now. So things have gotten much worse in recent years, especially during the COVID pandemic. Things got much worse between COVID and the fentanyl being introduced into the illicit drug supply. So now we're seeing a lot of people dying from their addictions and their substance use disorders. So this is really coming about at a time where we want to try to bring some funding into the communities and help those partners who are most impacted.
And as far as the people that were impacted, the people that could benefit from something like this, and I use benefit loosely for lack of a better word, who would those individuals be?
Yeah, so we really looked at that, and in Wood County, we wanted to make sure we had multiple voices at the table. So we did form an opioid task force to make sure we had a number of voices and community sectors represented. So in November of 2022, that's when Wood County convened our opioid task force to kind of do a community assessment. What do we have happening that's working well, and where are the gaps in connecting to those resources for individuals? So what aren't we doing so well, and what could be improved upon? So we brought people to the table from law enforcement, from healthcare, from human services, from public health. We had people from our adult drug treatment court, our school districts, fire EMS, criminal justice, and most importantly, we brought people with lived experience. So people in the recovery community. We have a great organization here based out of Wisconsin Rapids, Three Bridges Recovery. We have individuals who really have lived through it themselves, and we really treat them as the experts in this matter. Mm-hmm. So when all of those partners came to the table, we talked about what we have available to people in our communities. What do we have that can help individuals and families? And who can help our helping professions? It doesn't just affect an individual. It doesn't just affect the family. It helps. It affects our entire community.
I'm going to go a little off script for a second, Ashley, because this topic, it centers around addiction. And I've mentioned this before to the audience, and it's an insight that not everybody has. It's why I share. But I grew up with an addict. My father was addicted to heroin the majority of my life. It's only been in the last 20 years that he has kind of come from that and come out of that. But the stigma that he continues to deal with because of that, let alone when he was trying to find work and break free of this or anything. He grew up in a society and lives in a society where that was not really taken in very well. And you were looked at as a certain way if you were an addict or addicted to something. When I try to, I am especially in this job, I try really hard to look for silver linings. I try to find things that, okay, this happened, we can't change it, what can we take from it? One of the major things that I have taken from the opioid crisis is it has brought it full circle in some ways. It has made it real to some people, what the quote-unquote addict looks like or what the quote-unquote addictive person is and looks like. A lot of people have an image in their head. Some may have already had a pop in their head as soon as I said that. The opioid crisis let us know it could be your neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be a relative, it could be you. It brought it really home to people. And with that, I wish to God not one person had ever had to deal with this. I would love for more people not to have. But since we are here and we can't change what happened in the past, we can do something about the future, about the present, and being much more accepting, giving each other more grace when it comes to this topic, and understanding that it can literally affect anybody.
Yes, you bring up a great point, James. We talk about this all the time, that addiction doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter who you are. You potentially could become addicted. And we tend to forget that most people start using substances in adolescence. So, you know, when they're teenagers or young adults, that tends to be when people experiment with substances because of that developing brain and the risk-taking tendencies. So when people tend to want to do more risky things and they try substances, no one really wants to become addicted, and we've heard that before, but it happens. And we've heard of people becoming accidentally addicted to prescription medications that they thought were safe, and that just wasn't the case. So depending on who you are and what substance is taken, it all depends on what's going to happen, right?
It's really even brought addiction in itself full, not full circle again. I'm using the wrong terminology, but it has really brought it home for a lot of people. And well, I think of addiction, I think of alcohol, I think of heroin or these things. You could be addicted to sugar.
Yes.
You can, like, it's really kind of, in that regard, there is some, I hate to use the word positive from it, but just trying to take silver linings and look at what we can from the situation. I think that has really helped our community. And bringing this a little bit more home and understanding, okay, well, this is something that we need to bring attention to. We need to really get on. And to hear, I think of all this because of the group of people that you mentioned came together for this. It's so insightful. We're in a whole different age now where I feel like 10, 20 years ago, we have this subject come up, and I don't know that we get the great minds together like that. A real shout out to you guys at the health department, to this community for coming together and looking at what we can do to help, what we can do to bring, you know, not only some construction to this topic, but to do some good with it. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, the opioid task force has developed a plan with a framework for distributing these funds.
Yes. So the opioid task force did bring a plan to how we would like to see these funds used. We brought that to the county board committee, our oversight committee, that would then approve these funds. So that's kind of how the process will work as we put out this request for proposals and people request funding from this settlement. We will put a plan together, propose that to our county board, and they will then have the final approval and say over what does and does not get funded.
Ashley, what are some of the key areas of focus that the funding will include?
Yeah, that's a great question. We will make sure that some of the funds, we want to try to kind of have an even distribution of funds across a couple of different areas. We did say right away that one big project that needed funding early on was the construction of a federally qualified health center here in Wisconsin Rapids. So that is kind of in the works. The information about that has been released publicly already, but we are going to earmark part of our initial settlement funds for Wood County to go towards the construction of that federally qualified health center to provide not only substance use treatment services, but also primary care and dental services as well, which is a huge need that was identified in our area. Huh. So along with that, being that a large portion of our initial funds will go towards treatment, we additionally want to make sure we're evenly funding things such as prevention. So looking upstream and protecting our youth from ever starting to use substances and building those positive coping skills. We also want to look at harm reduction or death prevention, if you will. So what can prevent someone from having an opioid overdose if they are addicted to a substance? What can help them become more healthy? Criminal justice and law enforcement are also categories we want to fund, along with recovery. We want to be more supportive of recovery in our community. We also talked about having some funding available for community grants and some for, you know, just evaluating to make sure that our efforts are making a positive impact and fighting that stigma that you mentioned, James. So being that there is so much stigma around substance use disorder, this seems to be one of the most stigmatized topics in our communities. And it's not just specific here to Wood County. It's across the nation and probably across the globe that this is such a stigmatized topic where we feel that we can treat people differently if they have a disorder. And it's unfortunate. But
yeah, actually, a lot on that to get into, and not to necessarily drag the point, but I think that so much of this, it's so interesting to see a plan in place that truly does cover all bases.
Right.
It really does help having that great group of that think tank, if you will, together of minds to really come up with this plan, this this opioid task force. It really does feel like, as I'm looking at this and I'm coming at it from such a different angle, that I'm looking for the holes in this and I don't see any. Like, you guys really covered your bases on this one. I'm very encouraged and proud of that. And I don't know the last time I said that I was encouraged about this topic, but man, I 10 minutes ago felt completely different than I do now about it, just talking with you about this. And we haven't even, this is in the early stages. We haven't really even gotten going with this yet. I mean, it is, but to know its full impact, we can't wrap our minds around yet. That's really saying something.
Yeah, we're coming a long way with providing education around all of these topics. And one part that I didn't mention is that 70% of the national opioid litigation does come to the local communities. So that other 30% goes to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. So Wisconsin DHS, then they bring a plan together to say, this is where the funds are most needed for that 30% that comes to the state. They propose that to the Joint Finance Committee to approve a budget, then how those dollars are allocated. So a lot of what the state has done has been focused around getting Narcan into our communities. So Narcan is a brand name for naloxone, which is the medication that saves lives. It reverses opioid overdoses. And there's really no harm in administering Narcan other than it will reverse that opioid overdose, which a lot of people are unaware of. They don't really understand that you can't abuse naloxone, and that it's not harmful to someone who has not taken opioids. So we have done a lot in our community to make sure that medication is available to the people who need it most. And the state's done a great job of funding various projects to make sure there is a law enforcement Narcan program so that all law enforcement officers can carry Narcan, or a EMS leave behind program so that if an ambulance is responding to an overdose situation, they can then leave naloxone with a loved one and tell them how to administer it if this were to happen again. And I don't want people to get the wrong impression that it enables people. I hear that a lot, and it's absolutely false. If you ask anyone who has gotten Narcan'd, they will say that is not a pleasant experience. This is not something people enjoy having happen to them. It actually tends to throw people into immediate withdrawals, and it blocks the effect of that opioid. So that's kind of a tricky thing, but I feel like I'm getting off topic.
No, but I am so glad you touched on that, Ashley. That was amazing. Thank you so much for doing that. That's a topic that has been around for a while, that the only way to counter these things is with knowledge. And you guys are able to do that at the health department. I appreciate you taking the time on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like I do tend to get off topic sometimes.
You and me both. You and me both.
Other things that the state is looking at funding are things like medication-assisted treatment or medications for opioid use disorder specifically. They've also put money towards room and board costs for treatment. So people who, you know, they are able to get into treatment, but all of a sudden they can't pay for the inpatient, you know, they can't stay, right? So there has been funds that go towards that. Also looking at an overdose alert system, just to let local communities know if there is a spike in overdoses in your community, and then we can get that information out, not only hopefully to people who are using substances, but to the helping professions in our community and people who need to be aware that they may see an increase in these overdoses.
All really important work and great things to be able to cover. It is a lot to cover, Ashley. We've covered a lot today with a lot of this, and it takes a lot of people behind this, too. So, again, a big shout-out to this task force that was put together. Are there future meetings that will be happening with this task force? Are you looking to add more members to the task force?
Yeah, if people are interested in joining the opioid task force, they are welcome to reach out to the health department. And I would be happy to share that information at the end of our interview so that you have it. But you can search for the Wood County Health Department's information. Just give us a call and feel free to ask for Ashley. And I would be happy to talk to you about that.
We're speaking with our friend Ashley Normington from the Wood County Health Department. And Ashley, wanted to take a little time to talk about the RFPs.
Yeah, so the request for proposal was just released recently. And if anyone is interested in applying for using the opioid settlement funds, you can go to the Wood County website. And there is in our topics at the homepage of our Wood County website, you can find the opioid settlement funding request for proposals announcement on there. So you would find the application, read through that to find out who would qualify for the funds, and there are attachments that kind of point to what are appropriate uses of these funds. These are the approved uses nationally, so it's not just something we created. This is nationally what they decided the dollars can be spent on. So the document is called Exhibit E, and it kind of gives a laundry list of everything that that can be funded with the opioid settlement dollars. Things that we're not necessarily looking at funding are things that don't really have follow through. So if it's a very short term one and done, it's not going to make a huge impact. Those are the things that we're probably not going to want to fund quite as much as the things that have a long-term plan and will make a larger impact in our community.
Which is something that I think if you are looking at doing this seriously, that is something you would want. I think that this isn't, especially hearing the way you put this, there's nothing to discourage anybody from. This is more, this can even be helpful for you if you do get these funds. The group can be very helpful in regards of you putting this into action.
Right, yeah. And this could be, it's not necessarily going to be long-term funding that can be sustained indefinitely. We will be receiving, we're expecting to receive settlement funds for the next 18 years. This initial funding is probably going to be more than we will see in the next 18 years. There are projections as to how much money Wood County receives, but at the same time, this initial year of these settlement dollars will receive the most money probably than the rest of the years to follow.
And Ashley, if our listeners are out there hearing this and they're wondering, well, I don't know if this affects me or not, or I don't know if if I can do something with these funds. Should we just encourage them to reach out to you guys and ask these questions to find out more?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to talk more about this with anyone who's interested. Otherwise, you can find more on that Wood County website just to see what does the opioid settlement funding look like? What does it mean to have these dollars? So there's a lot of good information right in there. Otherwise, the Wisconsin Counties Association also puts out a lot of great information that you can look at. Johns Hopkins also has great information about the opioid settlement funding and what would be appropriate uses of the funds.
Knowledge is the answer. Knowledge is right there for you. The answers are there. They're with our friends at the Wood County Health Department, where Ashley told you to go. And that website, woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. I was just doing a little prep overnight for the show here and was able to go on the website, check out all of this information, get a little bit of a heads up on some of the stuff we were talking about today. And I'm not in this group or somebody that would need this funding. So for somebody out there looking for this funding, I couldn't tell you how easy it is to not only get this information, but to be able to reach out to you all at the health department to have follow-up questions or find out more about some of these things. And it also is a great opportunity for you out there listening, even if you are not affected by this, it wouldn't be interested in these funds or can get these funds, but you do have questions about this topic. I think in just a short amount of time, Ashley, we have answered some, you have answered some things that are unknown to our audience up until this point. The Narcan conversation, I think, was important. There's a lot of little things like that that we may kind of, you and I or others out there may commonly know, but isn't common knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I always encourage you to reach out to our health department. They're protecting our community. They're looking out for our community. They're a great resource. Use that resource. Reach out to them with your questions, and they can help. Ashley, I cannot thank you enough for the topic today, the time, certainly what you and the team over there at the health department do. If people do have follow-up questions, they want to get in touch with you about this topic or others, how can they reach you?
Yeah, you can either call our main health department phone number, that's 715-421-8911. Otherwise, you can email me directly, ashley.normington@woodcountywi.gov is my direct email. You can find that on our request for proposal application on the Wood County website as well.
And keep in mind the funding proposal applications will be accepted until through August 23rd.
Yes.
Keep that in mind, everybody, August 23rd. You can find out that information and more, again, at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Ashley, say hi to the team over there for us, and thank you so much for the time.
Will do. Thank you so much for having us.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
WisCountry 105.5 WIRI and locally grown radio WFHR are having a party. A party on the roundabout. Join us August 14th from noon to 6 p.m. and have some fun on the radio. Say hi to Pam and the rest of the staff. There will be kids games, balloon animals, and face painting. There will be a live animal show by the Aquarium Pet Shop. Have your kid team up with one of our on-air personalities to record a radio message that we might air later. That's right, you could hear your kid on the radio. Meet and take pictures with our feathery mascot, Agatha, from noon to 2. She loves to make new friends. Then share and tag your picture to win station merch, including brand new t-shirts. Help us give back and support our community by donating a non-perishable food or school supply item. Don't miss El Taco Social Food Truck serving hot, yummy tacos and more. And don't forget to text in your song requests for WIRI before August 11th through the Civic Media app. It's the WFHR WIRI Party on the Roundabout, Wednesday, August 14th from noon to 6 p.m. Come and see how much fun radio can be.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and Central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
Civic Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are in a virtual tie in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. Trump is up by 1 point with registered voters. Harris is up by one with likely voters. But if President Biden had stayed in the race, Trump would be leading by 5 points.
When he made that decision, it opened the door to a fresh campaign. So there was a very quick embrace of Harris. That, I think, was interesting.
Marquette poll director Charles Franklin says Senator Tammy Baldwin is leading Eric Hovde 53-46. The state of Wisconsin is moving ahead with plans to buy the Wisconsin Veterans Museum in downtown Madison. The State Building Commission approved plans to spend $9 million yesterday. The aging building would be torn down and a new state-of-the-art museum would go up in its place. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Local schools will be receiving federal funds to support more learning outside of school hours. The Department of Public Instruction awarded over $6 million to 57 community learning centers in Wisconsin. The funds will be used to enhance learning activities during out-of-school time. This will reinforce the things students learn during the school day and offer students a connection with adults and peers to ensure they are safe and having the support they need. Schools in our area receiving grants include Pittsville Elementary School and Alexander Middle School in Nakusa, in Portage County, Jefferson and Madison Elementary Schools, and the McKinley Elementary Center. The community book sale will happen in October, but you can donate books now at the Moravian Church. They're accepting donations until September 15th at 310 First Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids. The book sale is October 10th through the 12th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Two of the hottest stars in Hollywood are in discussions to star in the new A24 film, The Drama. Zendaya and Robert Pattinson are in early negotiations to play a couple about to get married when something unexpected happens. The incredibly busy Zendaya is coming off two big hits this summer, including Dune and Challengers, and is about to start filming a new season of Euphoria. The MTV Video Music Award nominations have been announced, and to no one's surprise, Taylor Swift leads the pack with 10. Swift received 8 nominations for her Fortnite music video and was nominated in the Best Pop category and for Artist of the Year. She was followed closely by one of her favorite collaborators in Post Malone, who was nominated 8 times for Swift's Fortnite video and got a 9th nom for his country hit I Had Some Help with Morgan Wallen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cool and mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, cool for August, highs upper 60s. Beautiful weekend ahead, sunshine and a high in the low 70s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. Sunday night, Monday, a few clouds and a slight chance of rain. Right now it's 73.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Nepo baby adjacent Lara Trump shares her thoughts on Kamala Harris's qualifications to be president. Oh, don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, August 8th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by a couple of great friends of ours. First, we have Kayla Rombalski with us, community development educator with Wood County, UW Extension. Kayla, good to see you.
Good to see you, James. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for the time, and you brought in a friend. We have Morgan Vanderhey with us from Mid-State Technical College. Morgan, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate both of you and what you individually and your organizations do for our community. Greatly appreciate. And appreciate the topic today, because we're going to discuss a brand new scholarship fund for Wood County residents. This is pretty cool. Which one of you wants to lead, though? Which one of you wants to start this off?
I'll kick us off.
Okay,
yeah.
Kayla, what do you got?
Yeah. So we're super excited about this. It was just approved yesterday by the Wood County Seed Committee, which is a committee of the Wood County Board. And this is a scholarship opportunity for Wood County residents to take an entrepreneurial foundations class at Mid-State. So we're really looking at both students and adults, folks that have maybe that napkin idea. And James, you and I have had conversations about entrepreneurship on this show in the past. But those who are thinking about, like, wouldn't it be great if I could get this business off the ground? This is a great way for them to take that starting point. So we know that as a young person or as someone who has a business idea, sometimes you need a little more to go along with that. And so this Entrepreneurial Foundations course, which Mo teaches, will be a great opportunity for residents to go ahead and take that first step and figure out just what it takes to get their business going. And so this is, again, free of charge for Wood County residents through this scholarship program. We're super excited about it.
This is a really impactful thing and an opportunity to really make some real moves in this community when it comes to this subject. It's a very unique and very cool idea. But Morgan, this is something that you're familiar with. You teach this.
Yes, I'm an instructor in the business management program, and this is one of the courses I teach. And the exciting thing about entrepreneurial foundations, as Kayla kind of alluded to, whether it be a student that maybe has that entrepreneurial mindset and they're looking for that foundational business knowledge, or someone that's already in the field working professionally and they want to level up or expand their knowledge, this course is really going to help them do that. And the scholarship opportunity, sometimes a student needs that support to just know they can take that first step. And this course is the first step in a lot of other credentials that we offer at the college.
I imagine, too, not only in the course, but in this topic, it can be, well, I have this idea, mm-hmm. and, oh, I think this is really good. And that can mean a lot of different things. It could mean, actually, I don't know if that's going to really hit a huge market, and you might need to tinker with that a little bit, or, oh, yeah, you got something here. All you need is a little fine-tuning. Mm-hmm. All you need is to tinker with this or to move with this. And that's how we get great things in this community and other communities, is by these ideas. And that's pretty unique in itself and very emboldening, if you will. But I can't help, and especially studying this last night and getting ready for the, prepping for this and everything, I kept coming back to supporting young minds mm-hmm. and supporting young people's ideas. Mm-hmm. We are getting much better about that in society. We're doing much more of that in society. Hey, young people have something to say, we should listen. We're doing a lot more of that. This program and your course really enable that, really support that quite a bit. And that alone, before we even get too far down the rabbit hole here and everything, is quite empowering, quite cool to see.
Yeah, with students in our program, whether it be our entrepreneur or business management program, it's really about providing them the foundational framework to move forward with whatever they're passionate about. Because as you talked about, when you're an entrepreneur, you have that mindset, there's this idea, but there's a lot of stuff that comes before it. And this class focuses on, like, what is entrepreneurial behavior? What is the difference between buying a business or starting a business? What are the forms of ownership? What is that framework of a business plan? So those four key things in this foundations course really help students, and I've watched it in some of our other courses. Once they understand that, they're like, oh yeah, my idea is still really great, but I never thought of XYZ that I actually need to bring it to fruition. So this is just that first step to give them that framework to really map out their success plan to make their idea happen.
When it comes to the people out there listening to this and having ideas like that, we certainly don't want to, it's not just for students. It's certainly something that's open to the community. So we want to make sure to note that and make sure that people understand that we are looking for all comers on this.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. So it's available to anyone. When we talk about entrepreneurship, we talk a lot about youth and really stimulating that creative mindset in youth, but it's also about retirees. Maybe there's someone out there who's had a business idea that they've been sitting on their entire career. They've just retired. Now they find that they have all this extra time on their hands, wondering what to do with it. This would be a perfect opportunity to kind of take that next step and to really focus that dream, if you will, or that thing that you've been kind of mulling over into a practical business idea.
It's something that hit me the other day when talking about this with a listener, actually, because there you mentioned the person kind of maybe near retirement or on that cusp or whatever. We saw this during the pandemic, the great migration, they called it, of people wanting to leave jobs for careers or wanting to leave jobs to do something. Now, I'll make a couple bucks less, but I'm going to do something I love to do, and they open an Etsy store or something like similar to that. This feels like an extension in some ways of that, and the support of that too is quite unique and a really something that can only benefit our community. I see no downside to this. I see no side effect to this. It's something that is only going to enhance our community and possibly other communities around us, the surrounding central Wisconsin area here.
Absolutely. And the skills that are taught in this Entrepreneurial Foundations course and the skills that you need really to be an entrepreneur are so transferable. So we talk a lot in Extension about the entrepreneurial ecosystem. Hmm. This is the new buzzword. Right? And supporting the entrepreneurial ecosystem in our community. And oftentimes when we talk to businesses, there's this thought in the back of people's heads that if someone goes into business for themselves, that is an employee that's lost to a business. So why would a corporate business want to support entrepreneurship? Because they're essentially encouraging their employees to go into business for themselves. And yes, that argument is true, but also by giving your employees this entrepreneurial mindset, it supports your business as well, because those skills transfer to whatever that employee is doing. So whether the employee is going into business for themselves or whether they're just using that opportunity for professional development, that all boats rise, right?
Yes.
So by supporting entrepreneurship and business in our community, we're affecting all levels and supporting all employees.
A rising tide truly does raise all boats. It's one of my favorite phases, and it's so true, especially when it comes to this topic. And this is one of those things that not only enhances that in the community, but the economic impact of the community is that much stronger. It hits a lot of different layers. When it comes to the course, Mo, I was wondering, would you mind kind of taking us through the course a little bit, the outline of this, and maybe we can get you some more students or something?
Yeah, you know, that's good. And I say students, everyone can be lifelong learners.
Yes.
So I think of like the community support with the extension that allows just others who, you know, maybe aren't students. I just think of everyone could be my student. So that's
right,
I just use it as a blanket term. But the course is an exciting course. It has four major key points. It's actually going to be offered starting our fall semester, starts August 19th. So there is still time to get started. And this course is offered in an asynchronous online option, which means you do it at your own pace, own speed throughout 8 weeks. And there is also an in-person option that will be on all of our campus, including an online live. So you can still have an opportunity to engage. One of our part-time instructors, Gabrielle Falke, will be teaching that. So two different options depending. Some people would rather just do it completely online. Some people want that once a week touch point with an instructor. But you're going to look at understanding entrepreneurship behavior. And you talked a little bit about the entrepreneurial mindset, kind of in interchangeable terms there, but looking for what does it mean to have that creativity, that resilience, that wanting to take a risk and try something new and solve a problem, and making sure the students really understand that mindset. Then you dive in a little bit more to the different types of getting into business. So starting something from scratch, maybe buying into something, franchising, just so they understand the background way of kind of how you get started. We really dive into ownership forms so they can kind of look at what's best for their idea, where it sits. And then analyzing the components of a business plan is a big part. This is a one credit course, so we dive in kind of more high level. If a student wanted more background, if they like really, really love this course and said, I learned a lot, but I want more, it flows right into our entrepreneur technical diploma, which is only 16 credits, which would give them a little additional background. Then that technical diploma flows into our business management program, which would round out with a 2-year associate's degree. So it is kind of that first step for anyone to take to kind of get that idea moving forward. And then there's all these opportunities for growth for them.
When you get a good idea, you want to hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. You want to jump on that right away and just go and go and go and go. And it's important, especially if you have the world's greatest idea. You've got, I'm going to sell sliced bread. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And like, whoa, nobody's doing that. That sounds amazing. And you know, you've got a baker and that's great. You open up a store and now what? You know, right. there's so many other layers to running a business or taking a good idea and running with it. Not only does this scholarship help with that, but your course really helps with that and giving you some outline, a little bit of direction, a blueprint, if you will, of how to really do this and be successful at it. Because you can have the world's greatest idea, but if you can't, you know, get it through, it's gonna die in the vine. Any good idea, we've seen this happen before in business and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's a really cool course and really unique.
Yeah, it's a fun course, and we really want students to be able to walk away understanding like the value proposition, their market opportunity, and their growth potential. So those three things are kind of the underlining components of this course that when they walk away, they can actually be able to pitch and speak about their idea, which is something we'll talk about in a little bit here. Mm-hmm. But wanting to feel more confident in their mm-hmm. idea and what is going to lie ahead for that business idea. Like, is there a market opportunity? Is there growth potential? Sometimes we can have a really great idea, like, you know, sliced bread, mm-hmm. great idea. And maybe once we start diving into it a little bit more, we realize, oh, this isn't going to kind of work. We have to change it or go a different direction. Or maybe that idea has to be kind of put in a box and we have to come up with something new.
Kayla and Mo were very helpful for me before we got going here, because I've been trying to push my idea of every day at 7 o'clock doing a the Princess Bride, where I do all the voices of the Princess Bride and in a show and everything. And apparently, there's not a big market for that, so we're gonna go ahead and put that to the side and work on that a little bit, see what I can do with ideas. But maybe take your course, Mo,
and
maybe have a little bit better of a strategy and maybe a better idea. But this is the kind of stuff that you guys do. You're able to take, well, whether it's a silly idea like that or it's sliced bread, and help you kind of not only get the funding that you could use for this possibly, but really put a plan in place so that you can be successful.
And students can sometimes, you talked about, you know, businesses being worried about losing jobs or different things. Entrepreneurs also create jobs because they're usually trying to find a solution to a problem. And when students go through these courses, I've taught a few entrepreneurship courses already, they also sometimes identify what area of business they're strong in, which means it's going to open up opportunities for others, because if they have a business, they can't necessarily do everything at the business well. I mean, there are some people that handle like all things for their business, but normally maybe like, I'm not a numbers person. I would have to bring in an accountant, or maybe you have to have someone else to man something for you. So sometimes it creates an opportunity for someone to really identify their strengths and weaknesses by going through this process and say, okay, this, if I want my business to grow and really find their niche in the market and be successful, I need to bring in other people that are, you know, masters in their certain areas to help elevate my idea and my business, which I think is a really cool thing for someone to be able to identify their own capacity and where they're strongest, and then where they can bring others in to kind of make themselves grow their weaknesses by leaning on those who have strengths in other areas than themselves.
It's giving you the resources and the abilities not only to be successful, but to understand business a little bit better, to understand entrepreneurship a little bit better going forward, which, again, can only enhance the community, only make it stronger, making the economics in this community stronger. And I'm so glad that, Mo, you mentioned jobs, because that is something that always if you hadn't been paying attention to some of the conversation today, you heard jobs. You heard that right away. And that's something that kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes when we talk about this, but it's a key part of the conversation. We're speaking with Kayla from the Wood County Extension, and we have Morgan with us from Mid-State Technical College. Where did you want to go next with this one? Because you mentioned pitches and the idea of proposing these ideas. That's another part of this, another angle on this that I want to get to.
Yeah, so we have a really excellent opportunity coming up, both for students that may be interested in this class, but also for community members. We are partnering, again, the county is partnering with Mid-State to offer an event called the First Pitch. And this is something that was done last fall in Stevens Point. We're bringing it to Wisconsin Rapids, so it'll be held at the Mid-State campus here in Rapids, Thursday, October 3rd from 5 to 7 p.m. And Mo was there in person last year, so I'll give the preface and then I'll let her talk about the results. But essentially, it's a quick pitch competition. So you have 1 minute to pitch your idea, and five entrepreneurs will walk away with $100 each to further their business. That's so it's awesome. Low stakes. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes we see pitch competitions that have $1,000 or $10,000 as the winning prize. That's pretty high, high intensity. Yeah, yeah. A lot of excitement, of course, but there's a lot more fear involving a pitch competition like this. This is low stakes and just an opportunity, again, for entrepreneurs to get in front of other people. So we're excited about this from a community standpoint as well, you know, wanting to get as many community members in the room as possible to hear these business ideas, to support the entrepreneurs that are sharing their business ideas, and really to generate that entrepreneurial ecosystem again. Like, how does our community support people in the first stages of opening a new business?
Yeah.
This event was so much fun last year, and you mentioned like kind of the low stakes. The nice part about ours is there's no criteria of having to actually have your business up and running. So this really is an idea contest. And, you know, 1 minute, one idea, one slide is what the students or participants have, depending on who registers. And they get to get up there and share their, and we randomize the order, they go back to back, they have a small portion where people can ask a few questions, and we actually engaged our audience in choosing our winners. So at the first competition last year, everyone was awarded kind of a stack of chips, and then they could go in and talk to the pitchers afterwards, ask them questions. We had this kind of networking opportunity, because entrepreneurship and business is all about networking and community and giving those people an opportunity to practice those skills. And then they could vote with their chips. So they could give them, last year they gave them directly to the pitchers. This year we'll probably have it differently because it was kind of hard for the pitchers to hold on all of these different chips from different people. But then we allowed everyone who was there to vote and engage, which, so it wasn't just a, like a committee or a panel or one person choosing. It was they're pitching to everyone in the audience. And if their idea compelled someone to be interested in wanting to learn more, that person awarded them that chip. So it became a really engaging experience. And I think it was really comfortable, I noticed, for all of those. I mean, obviously, speaking in front of people isn't everyone's favorite thing, but you really got to see some of those that maybe seemed a little more shy when they gave their pitch come out of their shell a little bit, having those one-on-one conversations where maybe they were a little bit more comfortable and could expand on their idea or take some feedback from some other community leaders that maybe could give them that one piece of advice that helped them move forward. So I enjoyed the event last year. I'm really excited that we're bringing it back and that we're moving it over to the Wisconsin Rapids campus. You know, we are one college with multiple campuses, so being able to kind of serve our different populations and give opportunities in different areas is always great. But you're going to have to come because it's a lot of fun, and it's really good to hear everyone's ideas. You can't steal anyone's ideas.
No, I won't. I'll be able to, like, unlike last year and stuff, I misunderstood, and I was working out my pitching arm the whole time.
It's not a baseball event.
A completely different thing, which I'm more prepared for this year and everything.
And there we go.
They only really have to identify four things. So they're going to have to identify, like, what problem and what solution they have. Who is their target market? What is their value proposition? And then their ideas moving forward. So they kind of go through the very key things I talked about that they learn in the class. So if you're excited about this pitch event and you're like, well, I don't feel confident, we actually help prep doing a pitch in the class as part of an assignment. So you could take the class, have your pitch already, participate in the event. It's kind of a win-win-win.
And any opportunity to continue your education or get back into the game of education, we encourage you to do. Mid-State has so many different courses, including this one right here, that we encourage you to look into and attend and reach out to them about. I did want to touch on that a little bit, this great opportunity in this first pitch that's coming up, because you mentioned both of you mentioned a couple of really key and great things about this. You have this idea, you bring it to the first pitch, and with that, you're not only going to get a chance to talk to other minds and get other feedback that you might not get otherwise. Maybe even that tinkering that I was talking about before, being able to fine-tune this idea and that. But Mo, you mentioned the public speaking part, and this one hits home to me. In my previous job, I used to teach at Second City a lot, and we had a lot of actors and a lot of people that want to be on Saturday Night Live on there, but the thing that always stood out to me were the kids that came in that were getting into the health field or that were looking at being attorneys, and they love this field and they have a passion for it, but God, they can't talk in front of one person, let alone a whole group of people or 12 people or something. And the more I talked to these people, the more I found that when they were younger, they didn't have a lot of opportunities for public speaking. And it's such a thing that where I can't stress enough, everybody can do this, and everybody is afraid of this. You're not alone in this. I have never turned this microphone on and not been nervous. There's not been one. I've done 101 characters, 1,000-some shows. Not once have I walked on stage and not been a little nervous. It's okay. It means you're engaged. It means you care. And it's a great first step to getting to the place of proposing your ideas, of pitching your ideas, especially at this first pitch. It's a nice little added kind of bonus, I think, to along with not only getting your idea out there, but getting some more reps in when it comes to public speaking and being more and more comfortable with that, which you're going to use whether you go through with your business idea or not. Public speaking is something we're all going to be doing, you know, more and more of going forward. So it's a great note about that. I appreciate that being a part of this.
And practice makes perfect, right? So it's about repetition. It's about getting it out there more and more. So, you know, there could be an instance where someone comes to this first pitch event and feels like, oh, man, I didn't do nearly as well as I could have, or they're not satisfied with their results. But that's why it's low stakes, right?
Right.
It's a first opportunity. So maybe from there you go on and have an opportunity to refine your business plan and your pitch and pitch again. And then one day you end up, I don't know, if you're a grocery business, you end up on the shelves at the major retailer. You never know what's going to happen. So.
Communication is really key no matter what you're doing in your life. And I think all of us coming off of the pandemic too, we're so used to being behind screens, whether that be a computer screen or a phone, things like that. We don't have as many opportunities to actually have those face-to-face conversations. And then some of those soft skills, it's talked about over and over again in all areas of employment, but I think we focus on it a lot in entrepreneurship and business because you really want to have strong soft skills, so verbals and nonverbals, and be able to communicate your point in a way that's really going to capture people and help make things move forward. So opportunities like this, I know throughout the program we try really hard to give students opportunities to look at things where they can engage with business networks, professional networks, business communities, because it's practice. The first time you go to some of those events, and I agree with you, I like to speak and talk, but I still get nervous. Every time I speak, every class I teach, I still get nervous. I tell the students that. And that's human, and it is means that you care. But there are opportunities for those of you out there listening that want to enhance those skills. There is support out there because not everyone's perfect at it, and you're not always going to be, but practice does make you feel a little bit more better, feel a little bit more confident.
And there's actually an opportunity coming up next week. So that was a great segue, Mo. We have a group that has been meeting actually across Portage, Wood, and Marathon counties called the Founders Network. And it's a group of entrepreneurs that meet with other entrepreneurs to chat about their business ideas and really, again, just to network and have that communication. There is a meeting of the Founders Network next Thursday, August 15th, from 5:30 to 7 at the Blue Heron Brew Pub in Marshfield. And the featured speaker for that event will, so it's networking, it's just a chance to grab a refreshment and socialize, but there's also a featured entrepreneurial speaker, and that is Gabrielle Falke of Stone Press Food Truck. So she'll be kind of sharing her story, talking about how she got that business started, and
she's also one of our awesome part-time instructors. So for those of you who are thinking you want to take the in-person class, you could have an opportunity to meet your instructor prior to even getting started with class.
There we go. See, it all comes full circle.
Wonderful conversation, you two. Thank you so much for the time and what you put into our community. Kayla, if people want to find out more about this this opportunity, this funding, how can they do that?
Great question. So it's just getting off the ground. There's not a website up yet, but they can contact me directly, and you'll find my information on Extension's Wood County page, or certainly reach out to MidState, and they'll get you connected.
And Mo, if people want to get in touch with you, just send them to the website?
Yes, they can get in touch with me from the MidState website, or if they want to explore the different programs and dive into what other courses kind of round out the technical diploma with this Entrepreneurial Foundations course or how it flows into other programs. We have some great advisors that work with specific areas of the college too, so if someone wants to ask more questions, we can always pair them up with someone from our academic advising department to help them with those next steps.
Find out more at mstc.edu, mstc.edu. Appreciate both of you so much. Thank you for the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you so
Sounds
much.
Sounds great. Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at Do I Have...
This is locally grown radio, WFHR, Peachwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the punk band Radio for Pets, who will blow the roof off the joint live in the studio, and Milwaukee-based actress and comedian Alicia Alstetter.
Nightlight with Peachwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah. What would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.